From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
Speak for yourself, pal. Not sure I'm actually ready to go. But away we go, and we welcome you to it. A brand new week. Happy Monday, everybody. Gwen and Chris on 97.3 The Fan. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby together in our Odyssey Palace studios right here in San Diego. There we are, popping up and out of focus and now back in focus on the YouTube feed. Tony Gwynn Jr. is, of course, calling the ball game right now. Padres taking on the Cleveland Guardians.
No, they're not.
Oh, they're not? They're playing the Cubs.
They're split squad.
Yeah, they're split squad. And you had me watching the Guardian game. Or no?
No, the Cubs game. Because that's where Tony and Jesse were at.
They're at the Cubs game.
At home.
7-2 Cubs. Top of the 7.
Yeah, not a great... Not as good of a game for the Padres today as it was on Friday.
Well, they started with a couple of spring wins, and now it looks like they're going to get a couple of spring losses. My guy, E-Guy Rosario, has hit a home run in this game. Eggie, batting in the leadoff spot, interestingly. Something maybe you want to read into that out there?
Oh, I will, Chris.
I'm sure you will. I'm pretty sure Luis Arraez is going to hold down that spot when the season starts, but you never can tell. Eggie hit a two-run homer today. That accounted for the Padres scoring. Otherwise, it was a 2-2 game until the sixth. And then J.B. Wendelken, who had some success as a relief pitcher, I believe with Seattle a couple of years ago.
His name does Milwaukee. Sound familiar.
Yeah, he was Arizona. I think he's been with two or three teams. Anyway, Padres signed him, kind of one of those quiet signings during the offseason, non-roster invite type thing. He may stay off the roster. Two-thirds of an inning today, 5 runs. So that does not help you when you're trying to make a baseball team, especially when you're trying to make it on this bullpen. Mm-hmm. And this Padre bullpen is absolutely loaded unless a trade is made. I mean, there's no other way of looking at it. They have 7 guys, in my mind, the Padres, right now, that are guaranteed to make the team out of the bullpen alone. Suarez, Jason Adam, right? Estrada would be 3. Then you're going to go with the left-handers. You've got Peralta, Matsui, and you've got Morejon. That's 6. And then I think Bobby Hoeing is the 7th one. Brian Hoeing. I know. Who's Bobby Hoeing? He's an old quarterback for the Patriots. Bobby Hoeing. You know, when you've been around sports as long as me, you start mixing some of these guys up. No, Brian Hoeing, you're right. So that's 7.
And Sean Reynolds was possibly, but he hurt himself.
He's a little nicked up, but that's 8. Tom Cosgrove has been in the big leagues. The guy who pitched today, Marinaccio.
Yeah, another from pickup, the Yankees.
Right. He's a guy that, you know, is pretty well almost guaranteed a spot if there is a spot. So I don't know how somebody like Wendelken's even going to make it, even if he pitched lights out. But 5 runs today is not going to help his cause. No. Michael Busch hit a 3-run homer off him for the Cubs. So that's where they're at. I did see the most overreaction tweet ever yesterday.
Was it from me?
It wasn't even from you.
Wow.
This has got to be the biggest overreaction I've ever seen. And it had something to do with the fact that the Padres dilly-dallied all during the offseason, and then they think that they did something by signing Nick Pivetta, but the bottom line is they don't have anywhere near the depth of the great Dodgers, and that was proven yesterday somehow.
It was. I mean,
during a spring training game.
You know what? To that person, Chris.
Are you kidding me?
They have high expectations.
My goodness, they lost a spring training game with minor leaguers playing in the late innings. The Dodgers scored 5 runs to win the game, and this tweeter thinks that means the Padres just aren't. You know, they don't match up. Based on a spring training result.
I would like for that person to realize that Leodalis DeVries made a great play against Mookie Betts at shortstop in the first inning.
Salas hit a double
off
yesterday,
the center field wall. Yeah. I mean, to that person, those two are depth pieces.
The bottom line, without question, is that the Dodgers may eventually prove to be much better than the Padres and have much more depth. After all, they've spent, about $1 billion. But that was certainly not proved by the outcome of a spring training game. So let's be clear about that.
I also see a lot of, and this was kind of a daily gripe last week, but a lot of writers out there, baseball writers, talking about Shohei Ohtani like he's already won the MVP. I really want to see him do this because there's also writers out there that are saying that this shoulder injury that he's had, that he sustained in the World Series, is not an easy shoulder injury to come back from. And it's taking out the likes of Cody Bellinger and Jesse Winker back in the day.
Yeah, so. But Shohei Ohtani's he is
a unicorn.
Yes, he's strange. We'll see. I don't know. I can't give him the MVP award before the season starts. There's some pretty good players in the National League. But if he pitches, and remember the shoulder injury was the non-throwing shoulder that he hurt in the World Series. Not his throwing shoulder.
Oh, I knew that. It's not going to affect his pitching. It still affects his swing.
Yeah. I don't know that anything affects that guy's swing. He had 54 homers and stole 50 bases. You talk about something that's no one's ever even come close to doing before.
Yeah, he's in his own club.
He's in a whole world. So, whatever. Shohei Ohtani's going to do Shohei Ohtani things, probably one way or the other. I'm not really worried about him. More worried about our guys. And, Manny opened up spring with a first pitch home run. That's better than what happened to him in his first at bat last year in spring training. Do you remember what happened to him in his first at bat last year?
Was it a pitch clock violation?
He became the first batter to be called out on strikes because he wasn't in the box in time for the pitch count or the pitch clock.
Was the pitch clock introduced last year or 2 years ago?
Yeah, no, last year. Wow. He was the first one that was dilly-dallying outside the box, and they waved him out. And I thought, well, that's a great start to spring training.
Yep.
But this year, a little better start to spring training for Manny. Anyway, Padres taking on the Cubs. They're in the seventh inning. They are playing in Peoria, which we mentioned because that means Tony has a chance after the game to get back to his castle, and hopefully get set up and join us for the second half of the show. So we will look forward to that. We're going to talk a lot of baseball today, of course, with the spring training and everything going on. I think Woods, Ben and Woods, I started with Woods there. I can't do that.
No, you can.
No, you can't. You
have
absolutely. I've never heard them referred to as Woods and Ben, ever.
But
not even close.
I think when
I don't
Ben's
think it's
gone,
ever happened before.
Is it Woods and Paul or Paul and Woods? They changed the name a little bit.
I don't know what they do when Ben is gone, but my point is you can't start with Ben. You just absolutely can't do that.
It's like you can't start
with
Elston. You can't start with Chris either, I guess.
Yeah, Gwynn and Chris rolls off the tongue. And Chris and Gwynn, no good. Ben and Woods are going to be at spring training broadcasting there from the Peoria Sports Complex Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So make sure you tune in the mornings. You get all the interviews. We're going to make our trip over there in the middle of March. Grady,
March
you and
16th
I.
is the day I'm leaving.
Yeah, we will be over there in the middle of March. But Ben and Woods will be providing on-site spring training coverage for all of you starting on Wednesday. I shouldn't have gone this long without mentioning it, but are you ready to be a soccer-crazed city, Scrabe? Last night, soccer overtook the sports landscape in San Diego, if only for a couple of hours.
I had a very different experience than you.
Yes, you did. SDFC wins as an expansion team over the defending MLS Cup champions. They beat them in their building. You know how many games the Galaxy lost at home last year, Scraby, all year?
I'm going to say zero.
Zero. Did not lose a single game at home last year. And the SDFC guy, I'm telling you, 2-0, they should have beat them by more. The LA Galaxy goalie made two or three saves in the second half that bore sublime. Otherwise, it would have been 4 or 5 to nothing. And I mean, I don't know that LA even threatened. They might have got a couple of looks at the goal, but I mean, it was a dominating performance. I mean, honestly, imagine an expansion team walking into an NFL game, opening up at Kansas City or something against Mahomes and the Chiefs, and winning 40-10.
Now, that'd be a big deal.
You know, you'd be like, whoa, what happened there?
That would definitely be a big deal.
So that's what happened there. And I have to say, look, we're all, at least I am, in kind of a wait and see to see just how popular this is going to be, you know, how big of a deal this is going to be. I'm hoping it's a big deal because we need and now have another, you know, major sports pro franchise. I want it to do well. They had not one section of fans at the Dignity Sports Complex up there. They had 4 full sections of all San Diego fans.
Wow.
At that match last night. They were obviously going crazy. They had viewing parties here in San Diego that were...
I did see that.
...jam-packed.
Yeah.
And look, the team wins its first game, and now they come home. They open up here on Saturday. It's a great start. You got to say that.
I'm
now, you said you
lie.
Had a different experience. What was your experience?
My experience was that
you forgot the game was even played, didn't you?
No, I knew the game was being played. I knew it was happening on Sunday at 4:30,
okay.
But I don't have Apple. And I think this is Apple TV.
Right.
I think this is a big problem for MLS. And I know it's not San Diego FC's fault because this is just what...
No, this is the TV
this
contract.
This is MLS.
Yeah, it's the TV contract they have.
So it's not on them, but MLS needs... I know that they need money, which is what Apple is probably paying them to
broadcast
the game.
Tons of money. Tons of money.
But it's a huge, huge, huge dis... what's the word I'm looking for, Chris? Help me. Disadvantage. For them to not have their games for free.
Well, last night's game was.
Because but you still have to have Apple TV.
You have to, right, you're right. I do have Apple TV. I flipped it on to see if there was any access to the game. Because I don't have the MLS package. I'm certainly not going to get the MLS package. I'm not that big of a soccer fan.
How much is it, by the way?
I don't know.
Let me see.
Could look that up. But I turned on Apple TV and I found, luckily, that every Sunday night now, Apple shows one game for free. And it so happened, and it was last night's, you know, game.
I did know that, yeah.
So that I watched and allowed me to watch the game, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. And, you know, congrats to those guys for going in there, storming in there, and winning that game, you know, in pretty comfortable fashion. Now, I was ready to make fun of it because, you know me with soccer, in the first half, there were a combined... 0 shots on goal.
Really?
0 shots on goal in the first half.
Okay.
And you know how I feel about soccer. I need a little more action than that. But the second half more than made up for it because the SDFC was all over them.
I'm getting tons of suggestions about how to watch. So by the way, it's if you're not an Apple TV subscriber, it's $14.99 a month or $99 for a full season. For subscribers, it's $12.99 a month or $79. And then on T-Mobile, you could also apparently get it for free. The biggest problem for me is I don't want to buy Apple TV just to watch the MLS.
I don't.
But I guess
you.
I don't have to. But I also have to pay more.
I know. Yeah, you'd have to pay $99.
And this is not me trying to take away from SDFC's win. I'm just saying I wanted to watch the game.
Yeah, I did. And so that's why I got into it and got really excited. So congrats to those guys. We'll talk more about them getting their opening win. The Aztecs in Utah. We're waiting to find out the MRI results on the knee for Magoon Gwath. Supposed to come down some point today. Obviously, that's going to be a big deal going forward. So stick around. We're underway. Gwen and Chris on 97.3 The Fan.
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Hey, welcome back to Gwen and Chris. 2:19 is the time. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby together in our Odyssey Palace studios. Tony Gwynn Jr. is in Peoria calling the spring training game at which the Cubs now lead over the Padres 8-3. Forrest Wall has just driven in a run.
Your guy.
Friars. I like Forrest. Run, Forrest, run! Or drive-in runs, Forrest. Whatever it takes. 8-3 Cubs, though, with the lead, bottom of the seventh. So hopefully we'll get a final coming in soon. We'll get Tony back in business here, joining us perhaps for the second half of the program. We spent the break, Scraby and I, looking to buy some tickets to the match Saturday. I mean, after all, is it likely that there's going to be ever more excitement / interest in SDFC, the new soccer team, than there would be right now? You've got the historic home opener. You've been waiting, right, for soccer to come back to San Diego.
What, 2 years since they announced almost?
They said it yesterday. I think it was 600 and some odd days. Yeah,
wow.
So about 2 years since they announced it. And all the years leading up to that, where, you know, San Diego, hey, we're big-time soccer people. This is it. We need the MLS. It should be here. We've got the border. We've got all the fans from Mexico.
We got sports-hungry fans.
It's built, you know, it's built. And then Snapdragon Stadium is built for the Aztecs. But just as much it's built for soccer, right? It's a perfect soccer stadium. You can basically sit on the field.
Yeah.
Right? There's hardly any bad seats because it's not a big football bowl where the stadium's in the middle. I mean, it's a soccer field in a lot of ways. So Scraby and I said, you know, let's go. We should get a couple of tickets. It's the home opener. It's the first game ever. They're coming off. They beat the LA Galaxy. I'm going soccer crazy. I want to sit at midfield. No, I don't.
No, you don't.
Tickets are quite a bit.
They're pricey.
Quite a bit.
I
don't even want to give the ticket prices because that's not my thing. I don't want to sit here and like say, well, they're charging too much or charging too little. They're charging what I guess they think they should charge. But can I at least say that the cheapest ticket that's available
right
now?
I think it's fair to say this is what they're charging.
Okay.
It's fine.
Well, the cheapest ticket that you could get according to their website right now. Because I'm on the website, I'm trying to, you know, it says ticket available, $86.
That's the cheapest.
That's the absolute cheapest. And I'm telling you, that's not a center cut seat.
Section 332, row 23.
Well, it's, anyway. All right, so you want to go to the very first match, you're going to have to pay up. But, you know, that was...
I figure it was a great
start last night. But here's the thing, and you brought it up. Because I don't want to be negative right now. I want to be upbeat. I'm excited about it. I really was. I enjoyed watching it last night.
Chris came in here fired up.
I am. So, you know, I don't want to try to get too down and out about it. But you're right about the fact the game was on Apple TV last night. If you have it, it was free. So if you have Apple TV, which I do, you can see it. But when is the next match going to be available? Remember,
next time they play a Sunday night.
Apple TV does a Sunday night game for free. I think Fox does a Saturday game
once
a week. But if you're not one of those games, I mean, how else can I see this team play?
Go. You have to go.
$86 to sit where I can barely see the match.
See,
for me... I shouldn't say that. It's not a bad seat because there isn't a bad seat in the house.
But it's farther away.
It's pretty far away, and it's $86
now,
cheapest.
I always put myself, would I buy these tickets if I was, you know, a huge soccer fan, and I don't know that I can afford $87 ticket. Like,
not a lot of people can.
I'm saying that like genuinely.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be able to just drop almost $90 on a ticket, which I do understand they have to make their money somehow. But some of these tickets, and I know that it's the opening game, so I want to see what happens to the ticket
prices.
Right,
maybe the ticket prices go down. Right, you're right. That's a good point.
But they have, like, the field club, which I understand is going to charge a lot. But $1,000 for a field club ticket, which I understand, again, they need to make money. But I want to see if the tickets go down as we get going in the season.
Can I just say one quick thing? I'm going to throw this out there.
Oh, plus parking, too, our boss Adam is saying.
All right. I don't want to be negative about this. I want to be excited, man. It was a great start. You can't ask for anything better. But Lori and I, a couple years ago, you remember this, we were traveling. We were in Spain.
Yes, I do.
And as, you know, we're like, wow.
You saw what? Let's Real go to Madrid?
No, we saw FC Barcelona.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't I was trying to remember how much the tickets were. Now, this was a regular, normal midseason game. It wasn't a home opener. It wasn't anything like that. Anyway, I'm on their website right now. There's a match, FC Barcelona, tomorrow night. You and I can get tickets for $78 each.
Who are they playing?
I don't know. I'm just saying. I mean, so does that mean that what the SDFC is charging is a fair price?
It does tell me that.
Or does it tell you that SDFC is crazy thinking it can charge more than FC Barcelona can charge?
No, it tells me that they're probably right on with their pricing if that's what other leagues are being priced at.
Okay. There you go.
I'm not complaining. People are going to pay the money for the tickets. And I hate to say it this way, but I'm going to the game with Adam. And we have our media credentials because we're going to go work it.
You're going to go the media thing.
You know, I've bought Padres tickets before. It's not about that. It's just $87 is a lot for me, personally. But people are saying on the chat that they've already bought tickets and they're already ready to go. Also, Edward says that there were $25 single-game tickets if you were a supporter, I guess they call them.
Okay.
So there's other ways
of getting
cheaper tickets.
If you're an athletic supporter.
Prolific is calling me cheap, but I understand.
I don't think you're cheap. 87's a lot of money.
No one knows how much money I make either, so it's
We're also telling you that that's the cheapest ticket. There's other tickets in this stadium for the game Saturday night that are insanely more money than 87.
But if you're saying 78 is a get-in price for FC Barcelona and they're saying 87, I'm fine with that.
All right. Well, either way, I hope a lot of people go. I'd love for them to open up with a sellout. You know, I'll be honest with you, it looks like to me on the website there's quite a few tickets available. I don't work in the ticket office, so don't hold me to that.
Yeah.
But it sure looks like there's a lot of tickets available for the game Saturday. It's historic. It's the first time they've ever played, and you're welcoming them home after a great win last night.
And you should go and get them. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's like 7 sections with the $87 tickets, and then it goes up to $100. So if you want these tickets right now, you need to go to their website. SDFC's website and go to the Ticketmaster location. Right.
They win 2-0 last night. Really impressive. And I'm as pumped up as I'm probably going to get. Now, like I said, I don't want them now to disappear from my view for the next 4 months. And that's where you come in with your thing about how do you watch these matches?
Like someone's given me, a couple people have given me ways to watch the matches.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, I know what you're
legally
saying out there.
Legally watch the matches.
Yes, legally watch the matches. I know what you people are saying out there. There are little websites you can find and little things you can do, but not a lot of people are going to go that hard out of their way to watch. Unless you're if you're a crazy soccer fan, you'll do whatever you got to do.
Yeah, do it.
But I'm not worried about the crazy soccer fan. I know they're going to follow this team. What I want is to be able to bring others into the mix.
Yeah.
That's what I get concerned with.
Either way, it was a great start for them. That was best case scenario for them.
Oh, incredible start. I mean, they're the talk of the MLS.
They are the talk of the MLS.
I mean, you know, that's just right now, bang. You know, like, wow.
I even got people from MLS broadcasting hitting me up in my email saying, hey, SDFC, big game yesterday. You want someone on the show this week? And I said, sure, let's do it.
Gotta have
somebody. That's how big of a day. That's how big of a deal it was.
It was big. It was big, and I'm glad I got to see it. I'm sure a lot of people did. All right, when we come back, anything more on the Padres, we'll catch you up on. But also, the San Diego State basketball game Saturday night had a moment that I thought was handled so embarrassingly bad by the officials that I honestly think the officials working that game should be suspended at the very least. At the very least.
You don't ever go this far.
And I am a, as you know, I always am on the side of the officials. But I can't be at
go to our resident referee, Chris Sello.
I can't do it after what I saw Saturday night.
Wow.
We'll talk about it when we come back. Aztecs lose at Utah State. But I'm angrier about what happened during that game, as should the Aztecs. We'll discuss more on Gwen and Chris.
On my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, we're getting down to the truth behind the names that you know and love. Unfiltered conversations with legends like Leanne Morgan, Kathy Griffin, Ricky Lake. Find out when they feel the most on par. We're breaking it down with Don Lemon, Aaron Parnas, Lamani Jones, laughing it up with Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, many more. You know, the results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, 2:35 is the time. We welcome you back to Gwynn and Chris. Chris Ello. Tony Gwynn Jr. broadcasting down in Peoria right now. Padres trailing the Cubs 8-4. Tony Hovley, join us in the next hour or so. We'll catch up with him after the ball game is over. Eggy Rosario providing half of the Padres' runs today with a two-run homer. A good stat dug up here by the producer of our program.
Who's that?
That's you.
Oh. What did I put in there?
Apparently, all 13 extra base hits that Eggy Rosario had last year were against lefties. He's a right-handed batter, so he hits lefties well.
Yep.
Today, he homered off a righty.
So you want to know where I got that?
From Jesse, I imagine.
It was
on
Jesse.
The broadcast.
It totally was.
I can't believe you would look that up. So
no, I would definitely look it up, but it wouldn't come to my mind to look it up when Jesse said it.
No, Jesse's on stuff like
he
that.
He really
that's why,
is.
That's why Jesse's Jesse.
Eggy Rosario needs to be on this team, Chris.
He's going to be. He made my 26-man roster, the one I gave out a week ago or 2 weeks ago.
His power?
He's going to be on the club. He's going to make it. He can play third. He's not going to need to play third. But you know what I'm saying? He can play left.
He can play multiple
places.
He's
playing left right now, DHing, infield, outfield, and he can hit. I'm pretty sure Eggy's going to make the team.
Ooh, I think we just got another on the chat. Tirso bomb.
Tirso Ornelas has just gone deep for the Friars.
Things are looking up, Chris.
All of a sudden, left field is looking jam-packed.
It is.
Right?
We're not joking
either. We got Tirso Ornelas homering. We got Rosario homering today. It's now 8-5.
What about Oscar Gonzalez?
Oscar Gonzalez has been tearing the cover. He's hitting .455.
I'll take it.
And this guy started for the Guardians just 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He was in the lineup when they went to the postseason.
Yes.
Starting in the outfield.
Yes.
I didn't even know the Padres had him, honestly.
Oh, I did. I've been following his entire... No, of course. I was like, Oscar Gonzalez went like 3-for-4 on Friday. I'm like, who's this?
Oh, he's been raking in spring so far. 1-for-2 today.
Cactus League champion. Here we come.
I don't care.
I know you don't.
Oscar Gonzalez with the spring OPS of 1,091.
Ooh, that's
right. Don't mess with Oscar Gonzalez. I mean,
love it.
Look, everybody who wants left field is hitting like crazy right now.
That's exactly
except for Connor. Except for Connor Joe,
he just
doesn't have a hit yet,
but he walks a bunch.
He's got a couple of walks. All right. Anyway, it's a little early for all of this stuff.
No, it's not. We need to know what's happening in left field, and left field is looking like a
need to start overreacting in the fourth game of the season, which is exactly what you're doing.
Chris, when I came on the air on Friday waiting for Tony to join the show,
and you were overreacting.
It was the first game, and I said,
yeah.
I know it's just the first game,
yeah.
But that was great.
Right, they won the first game. Big deal.
In convincing fashion, Manny Machado goes yard on the first pitch.
All right. Yeah, well, you know, print the tickets for the Fall Classic. A couple of notes that we should pass along, and then we're going to get to this Aztec situation and the officials. Saturday night, Sean Reynolds, you mentioned it a little earlier, but he's wearing a walking boot. He's going to have that. Protective footwear for another week and a half or so. Reynolds really was sharp last year. And, you know, a lot of people said this guy's got closers stuff, but I don't think he's going to make the team. We already talked about it. There's so many bullpen guys right now. Hoang has already been guaranteed the seventh spot. There's only really one spot up for grabs, and there's a lot of guys going for it. But if you don't make the opening day roster, it doesn't mean you're not going to pitch at some time.
Yeah, he could
during
be,
the big league
yeah,
season.
He could be brought up at any moment.
And, you know, you guys up and down, right? A little bit. And like, if one guy's pitched 2 or 3 days in a row, you can send him down and bring another guy up to be ready. Anyway, so it takes more than the opening day roster is what I mean. So Reynolds will be a key guy, but just probably not at the beginning. Hoang has been going through a little arm fatigue.
Yeah. Which doesn't really make me feel comfortable going into a season, but...
Well, it's you got a month to go. So he's got a month to get the arm not fatigued. It says here he's expected to pitch Monday, not in the game today.
And Fernando's been dealing with a flu, but he's supposed to be back
cares?
Here.
Who cares about Fernando? According to our friend Buster Polney.
Yes.
And I'm now going to call him Buster Polney forever, unfortunately. Fernando is only the, what do you think? Best corner outfielder in baseball.
Oh, man, they moved Mookie, so he's not in right anymore.
It's not just right fielders. This is any
outfield.
Corner outfielder.
That's why not just do right
that's
field,
left field?
That's what
Buster only did. He said corner outfielders, top 10, does Fernando rank?
He has to rank, but does he rank ahead of the Gold Glove winning Juan Soto, who actually makes a lot of mistakes in right field?
Juan Soto's going to be on this list, I think.
For Fernando ranks, yes. He's a platinum glove guy 2 years ago.
Fernando's got to be on this list.
He's number four.
He's not.
He's not on the list?
He's not number four.
Oh.
Top corner outfielder, according to Buster only, Aaron Judge.
He's not. I guess he did move.
Yeah, he's moving. Second, Juan Soto. Nobody cares if Juan Soto ever catches a fly ball. He's so dominant at the plate that they just don't care. They just don't care. I would care if I was pitching and Juan Soto was chasing fly balls all over the place, but hey, that's just me. I do not agree with this choice, number three, Buster only. Kyle Tucker. Good player, really excellent. He's not as good as number four, Ronald Acuna. I don't think he's as good as number five, Corbin Carroll. I'm not sure Corbin Carroll should be there because he really stunk it up last year compared to his rookie year. And I don't think Kyle Tucker's as good as number six.
Fernando
Tatis Jr.
Who'd you say was at number four?
Acuna.
And number three was Kyle Tucker.
Yeah. I'm not enamored with the choice of Kyle Tucker ahead of both Acuna and Tatis.
I think Acuna needs to be lower. He's missed two out of the last three seasons with major injuries.
The one he played, he was the MVP.
So?
That counts for something.
I'm happy that Buster only at least put Fernando at six.
I don't know. Six seems a little
low. You know, Fernando,
low.
If I'm going to call the injury card, Fernando was injured last year, too. So I can't say that he was playing every single game.
Here's one thing that Buster only did that I liked on his list. Honorable mention, corner outfielder, the greatest player in the history of the sport.
Mike Trout.
Yeah, that's right.
I apologized to Mike Trout last week.
Is Mike Trout's moving to right field, so he's now a corner outfielder. Buster only doesn't even rank the greatest player ever to lace him up as a top 10 corner outfielder.
Well, he's
just a reminder.
He's technically a center fielder,
but he's not now. He's a corner outfielder, and Buster won't rank him in the top 10.
Wow,
good for you, Buster.
I'm good with it, except for the number six of Fernando.
All right, the Aztecs lost to Utah State. 79-71 Saturday night. Final score was not indicative. The Aztecs actually led by four with under, I think, 3 minutes to go, 3.5 minutes to go. Utah State shot nothing but free throws the rest of the way and did not miss one. The Aztecs could not convert. They let the lead get away. And Utah State was a deserving winner of the game in that sense. But I want to go back to what happened a couple of minutes into the game. And I don't know that Brian Dutcher really is the kind of coach. Let's just put it this way. Thank goodness that Brian Dutcher is not Dan Hurley, like, who's going to do something idiotic. But I'm pretty sure that just about any coach in America, if their star player, and Magoon Gwath certainly qualifies as that for the Aztecs, is lying under the basket, injured, apparently tearing up his knee trying to block a shot, can't get up, and so bad and screaming in pain to the point where the Aztecs trainer ran out on the floor to tend to Magoon Gwath, all right? And the Aztecs trainer, Sergio Barra, is a veteran kid. You know, he's been around this a long time. Trainers know. You don't run right out there
unless
it's something serious. So Barra runs out. Gwath is under the basket. There's an official standing right next to Gwath. Like, Gwath is lying at the official's feet. Yet, the play carried on. And the Aztecs ended up getting the loose ball. They ran all the way down to the other end of the floor. Nick Boyd tried a kind of an off-balance layup. He missed it. Utah State grabbed the ball. They ran all the way back down to the floor to where the basket where Magoon Gwath is lying under. And then I believe it was Ian Martinez for Utah State went up and dunked the ball at the end of a bit of a fast break and nearly landed on Magoon Gwath and the trainer, Sergio Ibarra, who's trying to, like, protect his player.
Yeah.
All of this is happening while the officials are not blowing the play dead. Now, I can't tell you how bad this is on so many different levels. The very easiest one is the fact that you had a player who was in danger of, he was already hurt, in danger of being even more hurt.
Or the other player.
Or, right, Martinez lands on him. He could tear a knee landing on Gwath. But that's, they don't know that. But when there's an injury like this, and the team who has an injured player has the ball, you immediately blow the whistle. The only time you might hold off the whistle is if a player is down and the other team is going the other way and has an easy basket. You don't want to take that basket away from them. You wait for them to score, then you immediately blow the whistle, and everybody comes out and tends to the injured player. But that was not the case here. You can see Dave Velasquez yelling at the official, but we had the ball. Because the official's obviously saying, well, the play was... Yes, and Dave Velasquez, yes, we had the ball.
So stop the game.
You have to stop the game. There isn't even a question. If I didn't stop a game when a player was hurt that severely, I would expect a parent to come out of the stands and have every right to be a pretty ticked off that their kid's lying. You know, this is different from high school and college in that sense, but I would not make it as a college ref because I'd be kicked out of the association for not doing my job.
Yeah.
And I don't know that Brian Dutcher, you know, his quote is, I was obviously not happy with that, but what can I do? Well, Dutch, you know I love you, but what you can do is scream bloody murder to this conference and make a big deal out of this. These officials should be suspended at the very least. This is such bad, just so bad on so many levels. I mean, I've been fired up and ticked off about this for 2 days since it happened.
And they don't really have any reporting after, right? There's no media scrum with the referees.
There's nothing with the referees.
So you can't ask them, why didn't you stop the game?
I mean, they have no excuse. That's the bottom line. You couldn't even ask them the question because they have no excuse. And Mark Ziegler wrote his article that was in the paper today, and he often talks about things that happen in the game the day after.
Yes.
And he wrote about this, and in his, I didn't know he did this, but in his story it says, local talk radio host Chris Ello, a longtime high school basketball official in San Diego, unloaded, which I'm doing again right now, but unloaded on the three-man officiating crew over the incident, posting on social media, which is true, says, they embarrassed all of us who officiate. And I said, no excuse will do. And I will stand with that statement. As an official, I couldn't believe my eyes that these guys were letting play carry on for two full possessions while a kid lies there in obvious tremendous pain, and the official standing next to him.
I want to know.
So I think Dutcher really needs to make a deal out of this it's not going to change anything. I get that. But maybe it will change something in the sense that these officials won't work for a while. And a word, you can't make a mistake like that.
Do you think Brian Dutcher is a more of a, I'm going to be angry behind closed doors than
yeah,
in front of
maybe
him?
Maybe he is. Maybe he is. Maybe he called the league office. I hope he did. You know, himself.
Yeah.
I hope he did. I think you honestly have to say something here. Vern Harris was one of the referees. Now, he was not the one standing over Gwath. But Vern Harris is reffed in the Final Four.
It's very
strange. How can you make this kind of a mistake? Now, here's the last piece of the puzzle. And this is in Ziegler's story today. The official who was standing over Magoon Gwath
Went to Utah State?
No. His name is Larry Cirotto, Cirotto. Never heard of him as a referee before. Apparently, Cirotto is a former police chief of the Pittsburgh Police Force, but he is no longer.
Uh-oh.
He was also police chief in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. A longtime city auditor investigated whether he was double-dipping on company time to moonlight as a college basketball official.
What is this guy doing being an official anyway?
He was hired in May of 23 as the Pittsburgh police chief and initially said he would stop officiating games. He only worked once last season, but a Pittsburgh TV station noticed that he worked a preseason exhibition in Michigan. Anyway, they wrote about it. They brought it up. They said the whole thing. And he is no longer a police chief in Pittsburgh.
What
so this
in
guy
the world?
Is like a controversy, a walking controversy, basically.
Yeah, well, how could you ever have that guy be an official when he can't even be a police officer?
I don't know.
That's a
According to Ziegler's story, he retired as police chief on November 1st, and he's done 56 games officiating this year. So I guess now he's kind of a full-time official, but apparently initially he was doing both. And the people were like, we're not paying you to officiate games. You're the police chief of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
That is true. And then he probably has to leave the city and go other places.
Yeah, they don't play games in Pittsburgh.
What would happen if he was in Ogden, Utah, and there was something serious that happened back in his city?
Well, there was something serious that happened right at his feet the other night, and he didn't have the wherewithal or the knowledge to blow the whistle and protect a player who was obviously hurt.
That's wild.
I just think that's uncalled for by an official.
394 fan 619. That's a long name of numbers. But every year SDSU hoops team gets better as season goes on and officials get worse. It seems like that.
It does. There was a missed travel call at the end of that game that
changed
really,
everything.
It really hurt the Aztecs. The kid should have. He took five steps before he took the shot.
I mean, it was obvious.
And then he doesn't call it, and B.J. Davis ends up fouling out on the play. And that was a big point in the game, too. So, all right. I imagine the rest of you probably are like, okay, Chris, enough's enough. I get that, because maybe I went off a little too long on this. But I am going to, especially my guy, Magoon Gwath, who is a superstar in the making. This was just so bad on so many different levels that I just couldn't help it.
No,
I couldn't help going off about it. And I'm hoping that the word gets, you know, I hope the word gets back to the, you know, this league office has to look into how these officials made this kind of a mistake.
Is the Mountain West, in all honesty, is it low on the pecking order? That's why they have these quality officials?
Well, I told you, though, yes and no. Because Vern Harris
was a Final Four guy.
Final Four ref. All right? I mean, they have guys that have been there. Vern was doing this game. But what you say has some truth to it, because since we got to get to the break, but UCLA, USC, Oregon, Washington, they all went to the Big Ten and the ACC, Stanford,
the Pac-12 officials.
All those officials kind of have moved their hub
services,
of operation
yes.
to the middle and the East Coast.
Okay.
So we've lost a lot of good officials out here on the West because of that.
Okay.
So that's part of the situation.
Well, get that police chief guy out of there.
Ziegler. You made me laugh, man, by putting my tweet in your story.
He's going to be on tomorrow, and you're not going to be in, which is a bummer, but we're going
to
definitely
talk
about
it. Yes. All right. More Gwen and Chris coming up. Daily Gambit is next.
Hey guys, it's Daxton.
And Hayden from Blondies Out Loud.
And if you've ever thought about starting a podcast or making money from one,
we use Creator Lab from Odyssey for our show, and it's honestly been so easy.
It's free hosting, and it gives you a really simple way to earn on top of whatever you're already doing.
Which, of course, we love because it just adds another stream without the extra work.
So, if you're a creator or podcast curious,
check it out at creators.odyssey.com.